It's the Tiltcast, episode 169, Two Life Crew.
And tonight we're going to talk about just about everything. We talk about some Last of Us, we talk about some Valentine's Day junk, we briefly mention Batman but never really go into it, and then we do this and that. It's just one of those shows. So, lots of fun and Valentine's Day remembrance, so stay tuned.
So lonely, Holden.
He's a honey.
Oh, and that was the intro. Oh, so funny. And we have a lackluster episode of the Tiltcast, as it's only me, and across from me is Trent.
Yep.
So, Justin decided to get sick. Rusty decided to pass out from schoolwork, so here we are.
Yeah, we don't even know where Earl is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earl's not answering our text messages, so... So it's just us. So on that note, what did you do this week?
Well, this last weekend was Valentine's Day, so it was mainly a lot of that. Was it booked a hotel, went there directly after work Friday, and met up with a girlfriend, and we did Valentine's Day weekend. Just didn't really turn computers on or anything, just kind of stayed disconnected.
And she gave you these awesome looking bacon roses.
Yeah, she made me a bouquet of roses made out of bacon, which was very interesting. I think they're awesome, but
I keep wanting to reach up and just go.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat them. They've been sitting around since probably Thursday.
Yeah.
Of last week. So.
Yeah.
But we did that for Valentine's Day. I got her a new laptop. And for doing schoolwork and stuff on, I got her this nice laptop that can play stuff like Borderlands 2. So, and it's a pretty powerful laptop for what it is. And I actually bought one myself because we need a new recording system. So I went ahead and bought one too. What sucks is I was actually out last weekend shopping with a girlfriend. And I came across, I'm a big H.P. Lovecraft fan, and I came across one, the only, I've never seen one before in person, which was a copy of Astonishing Tales from way back before Lovecraft was really published for his books, but his submissions and stuff to comics.
Yeah.
And this guy had a copy of Astonishing Tales with Lovecraft for like $300. And I was like, okay, I want to buy this. And I had just purchased two first editions of Lovecraft from him. And I was like, all right. I was like, I'll think about it. And I was planning on going back there this week and getting it for like $250, something like that, because it's great condition. You know, comic book from quite some time ago. And in great condition and stuff. But then I got back and found out that the recording computer was dead. So couldn't buy that. I had to hold off. I could still buy it, I just would rather not spend that much money in 1 week.
Well, so, the fans, I'm sure, thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. That fact that I have a whole bunch of games installed on this laptop now, I'm sure is for my own personal use. But so I might be buying that here in the next couple weeks, which will be awesome.
And that's cool, because those are really hard to find.
Yeah, like I said, I've never gotten a chance to see one in person, and they had it for like... $300. They also had a first edition of Lovecraft's Beyond the Wall of Sleep for like $800. I wouldn't mind buying that too, but oh, wow. I'm gonna I have a deal I'm looking to close, and if I close it, I make a few grand off of it, and if I do, I might buy both of those.
Nice.
So other than that, I just did Valentine's Day stuff. Got sinus sick. Not contagious, but the shit's bad enough outside it's affecting me, and I usually never get affected.
Yeah.
And then I watched Ender's Game with the girlfriend. Made her watch that. I'd already seen it. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. So.
Yeah, it stayed as true to the book as I think you can in a 2.5 hour movie.
Well, they changed a few things, like the names of the aliens, since Hollywood decided they didn't want to have the aliens basically be a metaphor for, homophobia. They changed the aliens' names, but other than that, it was pretty good. And I liked it, and I look forward to seeing what they do with the rest of it. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Did you and Justin ever make it to RoboCop?
Yeah, we made it to RoboCop. Yeah, we went on Thursday night. Yeah, that was interesting. Everybody kept asking me to compare it to the first one, to the original RoboCop, and you really can. It's two different stories.
Yeah.
And two different takes, so it's apples and oranges at that point. It's good though. I mean, it's not bad. It's better than RoboCop 3. Which is
Does that
not.
really take much?
Yeah, it doesn't take too much to be better than 3, but it was decent enough. I enjoyed it. Has Michael Keaton in it. I like Michael Keaton. I'm a big fan of Michael Keaton, so it's nice to see him in that. And he's got a slew of movies coming out, so it's nice to see him doing stuff again. And it's got Gary Oldman, who seems
Oh,
to be getting
yeah.
wrapped up in some of the more iconic, superhero franchises like Batman, and now he's on to the RoboCop ones. And what was it? His role is from the first original stuff, and it's been rewritten very interestingly. So,
Yeah, that original scientist, right? Or
well, he wasn't really a scientist in the first one, but he was just a guy. So he was part of OCP. So, yeah, he's part of Omnicorp. But I like how they rewrote it, and they did a pretty good job. So, I'll just leave it at that.
I
So.
can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah, it's worth it. The only thing I can really suggest to you is for you here in town, go to Eaton Square because they have this Eaton Square splash card they play before they start the movie, and it has music in it and stuff that's very Verhoeven original RoboCop. So it's almost like kind of you're sitting there and you hear the dun 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 dun, just very reminiscent of the original RoboCop stuff, and you're like, oh wow, this is kind of funny, this isn't part of the movie, and it kind of reminds me of RoboCop. So yeah, that you can kick your feet up there on the tables and stuff. So yeah, so but it's worth seeing, I think. And yeah, I mean, of course it is PG-13, so it's not gonna be like
Yeah, not the TNA RoboCop.
no, I mean, the original one didn't have too much. It's just more, there's just a lot of violence in it, like just gratuitous violence, and this is a little bit more toned down. And actually, when I got out of it, I was trying to think of how many times I saw blood on the screen, because I was like, how many times did I see blood? Because you see guys get shot, or you see guys get stunned, or they take a bad fall, but you don't really see like a whole lot of blood. It's not like in the original RoboCop where Boedeker blows off Murphy's hand and you see the whole thing just
And you see the whole thing
disintegrates.
disintegrate, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like that.
Or dude's face melting off.
Yeah, where he gets the toxic waste on him. Yeah, it's not like that. Yeah, it's not like, where Leon runs off and then Boedeker runs him over. That was a good one, Clarence Boedeker. Yeah, I wish it was. Yeah, it was pretty good for what it was. What was it? Actually, it's like Zone of Ender was sort of they were just kind of jumping from milestone to milestone with very little filler in the middle, so it felt a little rushed here and there. This one had a decent,
It was.
flow to it. It still felt like it was a little like, oh, this must be the end, and then it just kind of draws out a little bit more. Was actually just watched the original unrated, like the director's cut, just the other week of RoboCop, just before I went to go see it, just to kind of refresh my memory. And it's funny, I look back on it and I just think of, wow, how I'm like, wow, that was a really B movie. It's like I just like, it's been a long time since I've watched it. I mean, I see it on TV in here, but I just have it on in the background. But actually sitting down to watch it from start to finish, it's just like, wow, that was a really B movie for what it was. And of course, back then in the 90s, sorry, in what was that, 89 or whatever, it was, everything was like that. I mean, shit. Yeah, it was still a good movie.
Yeah, all the action movies were like that, whether they were sci-fi or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not.
Well, it's like even Total Recall, which had Schwarzenegger throwing money behind it and everything. When you watch it, it has the very B feel. I mean, action movies have come a long way.
Yeah.
In the evolution of what the base of what they are.
They still, nowadays, they try to tell a story with the action movie now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you hear that that great 80s and 90s action movie music kick up with the trumpets and the horns.
Yeah.
And it's like, dun, 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 and it's like, oh, yeah. You know, it's like a Last Action Hero. Is a good example where it's got rock and roll, or it's got this like great symphony piece. It's just really hardcore and extreme, like the RoboCop theme song. So that's like it just reminds me. It just reminds me of like how the hell did Paul Verhoeven like get jobs directing films? Yeah, I mean I love Starship Troopers. That's one of my favorite films. Yeah. I love the way it's directed. And that one, he had a really great budget. And he was trying to do something fantastic. Yeah. Starship Troopers was a great sci-fi book, you know, that had been around for quite some time, and it was just really an impressive book for what it was. And then, plus he had the Spelling family behind it, throwing money at it. Yeah. He was, what was it, 90210? Yeah. And all that. And he was, you know, Aaron Spelling was wanting to really throw a lot of money into it, and so they just went all out. Then you have stuff like, I think Terminal Velocity is one that he did, like Paul Verhoeven did with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Then he had like Total Recall with Schwarzenegger, and then RoboCop with Peter Weller. And compared to Starship Troopers, it was real shit, like production wise. And watching Paul Verhoeven's later work, it's like he peaked with Starship Troopers, and then everything just started to go down in quality.
Yeah.
All that. It got a little too cliched. It almost became like he was parodying his own style at that point, which other people had tried to do. So, by the way, I still like Paul Verhoeven. I still like the original RoboCop. So I like the new RoboCop, but I just make an observation about nothing, really. So I didn't even really have a point. I just felt like talking shit and pissing some people off, going like, I love RoboCop. This guy's an asshole. Like, well, yeah. I love RoboCop too, but shit. It's like, I can still trash on it a few times. So, anyways, so what have you been doing?
Oh, wedding, wedding, wedding. Mm-hmm. Wedding and more wedding.
Mm.
And a little bit more of Arkham City. Sprinkled in.
Nice.
So, yeah, it ended up being Rusty, the bride and groom, my wife and myself, setting up this whole wedding.
Yeah.
So that's all last week was. Wedding, wedding, wedding. Hmm. And no alcohol. They had everything in church, even the reception, so there was no alcohol. Which kind of stinks, because that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
So it was just a busy, busy week. And on top of that, I was messing with the same sinus stuff you are. So.
Yeah.
But got the what was it I did pick up? Oh yeah, I finally picked Blacklist back up. I just haven't gone back through it yet.
Yeah.
I want to shoot for Total Ghost this time.
Nice. So.
And a little bit of Borderlands 2 to break the monotony.
Yeah.
So, start out with Psycho this time. Just see how it is.
Nice.
Just see how it is. It's fun. It plays a little bit like Tank, but he's more restricted.
Mm-hmm.
His Berserker mode isn't quite as overpowering as Tank is.
No. So I actually booted up Borderlands at work today while I was setting this laptop up for different stuff, and it's like it's Was it? It's an i3 processor with like 6 gigs of RAM and an Intel graphic chipset, you know. But I was like, all right, I'm gonna see what it can do, you know. And so I booted up Borderlands and I had it running at pretty much altered, like, you know, high details, high depth of field, max frame rate for what I could do, like resolution and all that. And I pulled up my Siren because I forgot I was still playing as her. Last thing I carried my save over, and she was actually stuck on, what was it, True Vault Hunter mode.
Nice.
So I loaded that up, and I was out in the desert area by what's her name, Ellie.
Yep.
Yeah, so I went out there and I got a chopper on me and some ant line, those little ant things come on, the little lion ants. And so I'm sitting there at work shooting shit with a caustic, you know, assault rifle. And
Nice.
it kind of reminded me that I need to start playing that game again with my girlfriend, so I'm going to be playing that again in the near future. I might actually just do it through it all on the laptop to see how well it does. So,
Gotta stress test it somehow.
yeah. Well, I installed on hers, and she's been doing nothing but playing Borderlands 2 on that one and doing homework stuff, and she hasn't run into a single issue yet. But of course, her settings are just at base normal settings.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what happens after I play for 2 hours, yeah, in a higher area or something like that. So
Nice.
yeah, I have to test it out. Same with Civ. I have Civ on there too. I need to load up my map that I keep working on, then walking away from, and because that's like I think like 1,500 turns in. And I pretty much have like 75% of the map under my control. And it's just countless freaking cities.
Wow.
So that's a lot of on-screen rendering, so I need to see how that works. Because that's what geeks do. Yeah,
Of course, it's what we do.
sit there and fuck with stuff.
Oh, yeah. That reminded me. I also replaced it. Replaced a hard drive and a laptop. Freaking Acers.
Now this weekend, what was wrong? Did it just die, or was it
The hard drive just wouldn't post anymore.
yeah.
But at one point, evidently, they'd let the laptop heat up so bad that the Windows key was practically completely burned off. So I ended up having to just plug the data cable into the hard drive, power it off something else, and just access the root files from DOS and pull the key off of it. Horrible, horrible time. Horrible time. So.
Nice. So let's see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without the two extra people, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, I did this and this, and
Yeah,
then
you
fucked off
know.
and did that, and kicked some kids and ran some children off. But yeah.
Man, kicking kids, that might have actually made the week fun.
Yeah. Nah, it was, what was it, oh, okay, no, on Valentine's Day, I went out to eat with I didn't have any reservations anywhere. Because, you know, it was all kind of a, you know, spontaneous event of booking a hotel and everything.
Yeah.
And I luckily got a hotel room, but we went over to Agave to go and have dinner. Because, you know, we both like Agave. And she likes the booths because the booths have high backs on them, and so she can't really see anybody around us because she hates being in the middle of a room full of
Yeah.
strange people. So, and I was like, okay, we'll go there. And of course, we get there. And I tell them, yeah, we want a booth. And they come and they seat us after about 15 minutes of waiting. And they take us to the very back to this attachment room that looks like a cafeteria inside of a horrible, like, rundown school. And they sit us, and I was just sitting there going, okay. And it's loud as shit. And they brought us chips and waters and stuff, and I was like, okay, let's just go. So we just get up and we walk out. We went to Carino's instead, who had tables ready, and were busy, but not like completely packed like that. It was ridiculous.
Wow, so, Carino's wasn't busy on Valentine's?
At like 9 o'clock at night, no. They were pretty much dead by that. Well, they weren't dead. They were still very busy, but they at least had tables. Yeah. And what sucks is the hotel that we went to, this is a hotel that I used to get to like 10 years ago that I like. And it's very quaint, and it's in the middle of town, and it's really nice. And apparently over the last 10 years, it was purchased by someone, and they've just been letting it go to shit. So I get in there Friday night, you know, and I notice that once you turn the TV on, it doesn't turn off. It's just, the button, apparently for power, no longer turns it off. It folds over and starts changing the channel. And I'm like, okay, so how the fuck do I turn this off? So you have to unplug the TV, which we just kept it unplugged the entire time after that. We were like, fuck it. There was something on the wall, like attached to the wall, that used to be part of a bigger object that most of it was missing now. So there's just this gray, weird saddle piece that's just on the wall that has no purpose whatsoever. I have no idea. The furniture is all like that. They got rid of all the nice furniture and they had this shitty, like, just horrible furniture that I went to go open one of the drawers and it just, the knob came off and was just hanging on by one screw. So I was like, okay, what the fuck's that about? So I opened it up and I'm looking. I can't find the screw for it. I noticed across from me, the TV stand has it's the same type of furniture and it has like one handle on there that's doing the same thing. It's just held on by one screw. So I take it. I remove the screw from that one and throw that handle inside of the TV stand and I attach the screw to the other one so it looks at least like it still works because I have OCD about certain things. And that's how it worked. One of the lamps next to the bed, there was lamps on each end table. One of them wasn't even plugged in, nor was there a plug-in anywhere for it to go. So the room was only half lit in the bedroom, which was very, very interesting. Nice. They gave us an ice bucket liner, but no ice bucket. The coffee was... They gave us plastic cups to put the coffee in. And it's a kind of plastic cups when you put warm, really warm liquid in it, it turns into jelly almost. And when you pick it up, it just squeezes all the way in and it almost spills everywhere. And I was like, okay, I think there's probably too much xenoestrogen in this from the plastic. I'm just not going to drink out of this now. What was it? It seems like they were letting... They changed the whole thing over to where they do weekly rates now. Pretty decent weekly rates for in town. And so they had a lot of lodgers there. So and I noticed like 10 guys going to one room. There was a two-bed room where the two-bed suites were. And I was like, okay, so basically they turned it into a lodging hotel and now it's just gone to shit. I was talking to the desk lady... Saturday night, because we had ordered some food. We decided not to go out. We were just going to order some food and stay in. And I'm talking to her, and I was asking her some questions about the breakfast in the morning. Because we didn't know what time it was. They didn't have any fucking signs anywhere to tell us. And I remember they had very specific hours. And I was like, yeah, I used to come here like 10 years ago. And she's like, oh, wow, 10 years ago. She's like, yeah, I heard 10 years ago this place was really, really hopping and everything. I said, yeah, what happened to it? She's like, oh, I don't fucking know. She's like, I just started working here, and she's like, I stay here. And I was like, so what is this? So you start staying here and you start working here? She's like, yeah. So you just start staying here and you start working here. You just don't go. You just stayed and you work and stay here and you live here. And she's like, yeah, yeah. So I said, so you're here 24/7. She's like, oh yeah, yeah. And I was just in there thinking, like, what kind of hell is that? You know, it's like you live where you work. That's, if it was your own company, that's one thing, but it's a hotel. If you're the owner of the hotel and you live there, you know,
that's one thing.
But you just came here to stay for a while and you start working at the front desk and now you're still here. I guess they give you free hotel, you know, room and board, I guess, but do they pay you shit? You know?
Yeah.
Kind of whatever. And then my girlfriend on Sunday morning, she goes to the vending machine to get a drink. So she walks out there, and she said, I heard some noises. I was at the bathroom brushing my teeth, and I heard some noises and stuff. And then she comes back in, And she was freaked out. I was like, what's going on? She goes, like, some guy just stopped me on the way back in here, and he said, I need you to see this. This guy's got a knife on me. This guy, sorry, the guy was, like, yelling this. Like, this guy's got a knife on me. Bah, bah, bah. He's going to jump me. He's got a knife on me. And he stopped my girl. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I put my shoes on. I'm going to go out there. When I open the door, I catch these guys just disappearing. And I was just like, what? I was like, where the fuck did they go? You know, I was like, what the fuck? And then I decided, okay, about an hour and a half later, we're taking stuff out to the car. And I come out and I see that the hotel owner is standing there and he's very nervous. And he's like, are you ready to check out? And I was like, oh, I'm just taking this to the car. I'm going to come back in. I'll be checking out here a little. He's like, okay. Yeah, so. And then when I come back in, just a minute later, some guy standing there, this older dude, with a pair of shorts on and a red shirt with like some little white flowers on it. And he's talking to him and he's making a stink about something. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this is a guy that, you know, that had stopped my girlfriend. And as soon as the owner saw me come walking through the side doors, he changed the subject and was talking very loud about dryer towels. Trying to you know,
oh, wow.
Keep guests from hearing the conversation, apparently, because I heard the guy say, jumped me. And then the guy just starts going, well, you know, the dryer towels, blah, blah, blah. You know, there were stuff in the dryers. And I'm just like, that doesn't seem like a plausible like conversation direction for. And then someone jumped me. Well, dryers, you know. So let me tell you about dryers. So I was like, okay, we need to get the fuck out of here. So we got out. I just left the keys at the front. You know, there's a little box that said, leave your, if checking out, leave your keys. So I just, okay, fine, I'm leaving. I've already paid for the room. I'm done. I'm gone. You know, I didn't use anything, you know, so there wasn't anything to use. You know? So got the hell out of there. And it was a very interesting experience. I'm not going back there again, unfortunately, because I like that hotel a lot, and I really wish that they would have stayed good. Thing is, I bought the King Luxury Suite, and I used to stay in just the regular King Suite, and the regular King Suite is bigger than the King Luxury Suite, apparently, because my memory was, okay, I walked in the room, and it was pretty much wide open, and there's a bathroom that was huge with this nice bathtub. And we were on the second floor, or, you know, whatever. And actually, even on the first floor, there were king suites down there that were like this. And it was really nice. And this luxury king suite has a door that leads out into the swimming pool area. And so that's why they consider a luxury king suite, even though it's not. It's actually smaller. And the bathroom's shittier and all this stuff. It's just because it has that access. It decided to call it something else. And I was like, they should have really put better photos of this place on the computer. So, yeah. Yeah.
Lesson of the week. Don't choose your hotel based on 10 years past knowledge.
I used to stay there like at least once a month back then for like a year straight. And I loved it. I just did, because I had a roommate and I wanted out, you know. And so once a month I just go there and rent a hotel for the weekend. Nothing but great service. Always had fun. Not that same thing anymore. So now we were sitting there. I was talking to the chick that worked behind the counter, and she had her whole hand bandaged, and she was writing something, and she stopped to shake her hand. I was like, "So what happened to your hand?" She's like, "Well, one of the dryers exploded and was on fire," and she was talking about how she was grabbing clothes that were burning to pull them out and throw them, you know, behind her, and she got first and second degree burns on her hands. And I was just like, well, the dryer exploded here. She's like, yeah, I never knew that could happen. I was like, well, I mean, super high heats, yeah, I imagine it could explode, but it exploded. And she goes, yeah, I didn't grab a fire extinguisher. I was like, oh.
Obviously. Yeah, dumb bitch.
Yeah. And so the last night I'm laying there in bed, and we have the air conditioner on there. It was one of those wall unit,
yeah,
and it was making these crazy noises, and I was like, I hope this thing explodes. And my girlfriend's like, why? And I was like, because if it explodes, then I can, like, you know, sue them and make a deal where I'm just like, hey, just give me like a top floor, really nice room, paid for every month, you know, and I just never pay rent, you know, just, you know, nice hotel, all bills paid. They have like They have straight up, like, I think it was a cable extended television. It's just all the TVs are standard TVs, and they all suck. They have wavy lines on them because it's, just
because they rabbit haven't ears. Replaced the TVs ever.
So I could put my own TV in there, it worked just fine, But I was like, yeah, I could live here and have a nice hotel room for my place, all that. I got a swimming pool downstairs, all that stuff. I mean, shit, yeah, fucking blow me up. I was like, I'll take it.
It's like that all over town. All of the hotels that were really nice 10, 15 years ago. Crap.
Well, they got that new one. It was at the Campbell Hotel that's over by University of Tulsa. Yeah. Her and I are thinking about staying at that one maybe sometime later this year just to do another staycation over the weekend.
I hear that one's nice. Yeah. I've been in the Renaissance. That one's really
Renaissance isn't that bad. I just didn't want to go. I wanted to go somewhere a bit more, down to earth and quaint. And I like that one for that. And it usually is like that. And at least it used to be. And Campbell Hotel is like wood floors with like a nice fireplace. It's got a 4-post bed, And it looks really nice. And each room is done by a different local interior decorator. And so I'm thinking about going over to that one. And the Mayo is my first choice was the Mayo, but of course it was short notice, so they were blacked out all weekend, so I couldn't even get anything.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Renos at the Mayo are really nice.
Yeah,
they did a great job with that one.
But now,
and for those who don't live in town, the Mayo is like the oldest hotel in the city.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice place. It's about, I mean, it's not the most expensive, but it's about $150 a night for just beginning rates. I've seen it go even higher than that for some stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of the suites are like $300 a night or something like that.
No, see, I'm used to spending like whenever I would go out of town, like in Silent Springs, Arkansas, I pay like $250 a night for one of the tower turrets at the Crescent Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, most out of state, whenever you go out of state or another city, when you want to stay in even just a decent hotel, it's like $115, $150 bucks a night.
Yeah.
So it's really not that expensive.
No. I know you go to Hot Springs, a decent hotel, the cheapest you're getting is $120 a night.
Yeah. Yeah, so the prices aren't that bad. I mean, I paid $160 for two nights. Where I was
horrible for just a
for short weekend. Notice, and they had the vacancies, and which was lucky because I mean, like, I think it was Saturday night and they only had like 5 rooms left out of the whole 50 in the hotel that they have.
So they
do book out, they pretty much do blackout pretty much every night. They sell out, and luckily I was able to get two nights in one room. So this is called show filler. It's humorous stories. Yes. So, humorous stories.
Yeah. Yeah. More. Speaking of humorous.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're at the reception.
Wait, is this video game related at all?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. You said I didn't know.
So we're at the wedding reception.
Yeah.
And the bride who decided to make my wife a bridesmaid at last minute goes up to my wife.
Yeah.
It's about time for the garter toss. She goes, I don't have the garter on.
Okay.
So my wife's flagging me over. Hey, she doesn't have the garter. I'm like, okay. Not a big deal. Where's the garter? They hand it to me.
I'm
like, okay. I go over to the groom. Hand it to him, tell him, you palm that bitch. And what you do is you get down there, just reach up as far as you can and tickle her a little bit.
Yeah.
And just pull it down.
It'd be funny if she, like, farts when she gets tickled. So, yeah, he doesn't know that yet, so he's tickling to try and pretend he's pulling off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was her scream that was awesome.
Yeah, she screamed.
Oh, yeah.
She was just like, ah!
He said, I got her up at the thigh, just like an inch from her cooch, and just...
Nice. Nice.
And then you went shoot the damn thing out, went like 2 feet.
They just went 2 feet and just bottomed out.
Yeah.
You know what that means traditionally? It means that the guy's going to have erectile dysfunction later on. And that's what it's a bad omen. Not really, but it should be. It's pretty
funny. No, I think that goes to premature ejaculation, right? Yeah. If you're going to look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, weddings. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had my fill of weddings.
Yeah. I told Rusty and the wife, I said, we're not agreeing to help anybody with anything for months.
Yeah.
Not after this. It soaked up too much of our lives for a week.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, not to sound selfish, but it's one of those things where it eats up when you're working with somebody to get their wedding going, where it's they just roped you into it because they need the help, and it eats up so much of your time for somebody else's event.
Exactly.
And you're just like, okay, I'm going to sit there like a dumbass at the end and smile and clap, and you've been hitched to somebody, then you're going to ride off, and then what happens that weekend? Where's my break? Where's my get away from it all? You know, if we're doing all these stressful things so you guys wouldn't have to worry, I just get to sit at home until Monday and come back to work. That's a selfish way of looking at it. At the same time, I like for my friends to have great events, and I like to help out and do what I can.
Oh, no, I love how the... So, I mean, I'm
but happy some that... random person I don't hardly know and they ask me to do it, I'm just like, why would I? Not to be a dick, but why would I?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, we didn't even know this guy all that well. I mean, sure, we played tabletop with him for a year, but it's not like we've hit like best friend status or anything.
Yeah, it's like you get that phone call one day from some coroner, and you find out that you were put down as next of kin for some guy you met like once. And you're just like,
yeah,
what? It's like, yeah, Mr. Johnson died, and he put you down as a contact. You're like, dude, I met that guy at a kegger. If it's even the same guy I'm thinking of. And we talked about Star Wars for 3 hours, and he threw up and made an ass out of himself, and then he got kicked out. I've never talked to him since. I was like, well, apparently, you know, he did have a Star Wars shirt on, so I think that's the guy. But but apparently, you're his next of you're his contact. And you're just like, okay, did he leave me anything? Like, no. You're like, okay, so he's inconvenienced me, but he has not left me anything.
Or they tell you. Yeah. You'll be contacted by so-and-so. Lawyer contacts you, and he goes, you have 2,000 comics.
No, they just go like, he says that you were to pay off his funeral expenses? Just like, no, can we just put him in a hole somewhere? I mean, I'll dig it. I'll just tell you where it's at, and you dump him off. I'll pay you $50. It's like Craigslist fees.
Yeah.
So I'll pay you to drop it off. So
you know what? How about this? I'll find a good pig farm
for you. Yeah, it's like, can we work on a sliding scale? If you only deliver the arm, I only pay you for like 10% of the body. You know, it's something cheap like that, because I don't really want to have to pay $6,000 to bury the guy. So,
yeah.
Mm.
So, wasted weeks, what can I say? And then, so on top of that, you know, Sunday was literally just sit around and with my back saying, don't move, you bitch.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. My shoulder was fucked Sunday morning when I woke up. I think I slept on it wrong.
Yeah, but at least you had good reason. I mean, you were in a hotel room with your girlfriend all weekend.
Yeah, I guess that's a good... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, it was fun. So.
See, you had the perfect opportunity to blame it on sex, and you didn't take it.
Nah, I don't blame anything on sex. No. That's the private life. So I'm not going to be like, oh yeah, we banged 20 times. No, I'm not going to be like that. No, we actually played a lot of Trivial Pursuit.
I can see that. Yeah,
and the reason why is I'm a big Trivial Pursuit fan, and the girlfriend's a big board game fan, and we play board games, and so she actually found me a original unopened copy of Trivial Pursuit from like 1981. So those go for like $90 on eBay. On Amazon. She found one on eBay for much cheaper, and she got it for me. And so we cracked it open, and we played Trivial Pursuit like two or three times at the hotel, and then twice here Sunday afternoon. And it was fun, you know, because unfortunately a lot of the questions are from like the 20s, yeah, the cultural, yeah, the pop culture ones were from like the 20s up into the 70s, so she couldn't get a lot of them. And even I was kind of struggling here and there because there was shit about like actors that, oh, I'm just like, oh, I know who that is. I just don't know his fucking name. I've seen the movie. He wasn't big by the time that I was really getting into films. And there are obvious easy ones like who played Moses in the Ten Commandments film, you know, which is, you know, Charlton Heston, or who played Michael Corleone's second wife in The Godfather, that's Diane Keaton. Yeah, that's easy stuff like that. But then there was shit like, what iconic character did these two guys play? And it's like Lofton and some other dude, and I'm just like, oh my fucking God, I have no fucking clue who they play. Of course, it's Captain Bligh, you know, is the answer now. I know that. But the literature ones were even just a lot of like what was popular in the 70s. Like self-help books and stuff like that were cultural phenomenons at the time that I've never heard of because they were just, you know, really quick one-hit wonder books. And I'm just like, I have no idea what that fucking book is. And it's like how many steps are in this person's, you know, guide? Or some cooking show dude who I'd never even heard of. You know? There's a lot of Thor Heyerdahl questions, which was really fucking weird. I mean, we were playing like probably four or five different games. I think each one of them had a question about Thor Heyerdahl and his expeditions. And each one of them, I'm like, Jesus Christ, they really like Thor Heyerdahl with the Raw 2 and the Raw 1 ships and everything. I'm just like, that's kind of fucking weird. And but they have expansions. They have a Star Wars expansion now that's just all Trivial Pursuit over Star Wars. And I told my girlfriend what I was thinking about doing is rather than making an ultimate Trivial Pursuit game, which is, you have six categories to begin with already. So why not get six decks where you have the traditional deck, the Star Wars deck, the 90s deck, the 80s deck, the new Genius Millennial deck, and then one of the other ones. And after you roll and you move your spaces, you then roll again to see which deck your question comes from on that topic. Because what's entertainment, which is pink color in Genius Edition, is not necessarily entertainment in the other ones. It's a different category, but you know, it kind of makes it a little bit more difficult because it's going to span so many different particular topics. So, and there's like 3,000 effing questions in the Genius Edition alone that are just over basic trivia. Then you have the Star Wars one, which is just all over Star Wars, from actors to filming to story to everything. So, and I thought that might be a fun way of playing. She liked the idea, so, and we're both total
Dude,
nerds when it
I'd
comes
be
to it.
down for that.
So, yeah, and it should be. I just have to find out. I mean, I saw the Star Wars Edition Trivial Pursuit. I just couldn't seem to find just the cards as an expansion because they want you to buy the board with it too, because it's a specialty board and stuff like that. But all I want is the cards. So I might actually have to buy a few different copies of Trivial Pursuit and just toss away some of the boards back into the boxes and just
And just use the
use one
cards.
board. Yeah, well, just use the original Trivial Pursuit board with all the card decks. And might do that. So, gotta figure that out.
Dude, I would be down for that.
Yeah.
That'd be an awesome game of Trivial Pursuit. That
Yeah,
would
it'd be
take
pretty epic.
hours.
It'd be pretty epic. Yeah, it's just one of those things where, I mean, technically by the rules of Trivial Pursuit, you don't have a time limit when it comes to answering the question. You can take as long as you want. And we played a game that was like 5 hours. One night at the hotel. We played another one that was only 2 hours. It's really a lot of chance is what it comes down to, because the last game we played, I was getting really pissed off because I was trying to get to the science tile, where if you get it right, you get a piece. And I only needed two more pieces. I needed sports and leisure and science and nature. And so, and surrounding science and nature's tile tab are on the left, the right, and on the inner track are sports and leisure. And I kept landing on that one next to it, and I could never get onto science and leisure.
Oh.
Sorry, to science and nature. And every damn question I was getting with sports and leisure were about sports I've never even fucking heard of. You know, I'm just like, Jean Ali, what the fuck is Jean Ali? I mean, what the fuck's this? What the fuck's that? I had to go and look some of it up, and even then, it was almost impossible to find because it was so dated. And then, like, they're asking me questions about what was funny. What was really fucking funny is I blew my girlfriend away because I think the question was something about who were the, at the time, who were the the three Masters golfing champions?
Yeah.
You know, and I said, what was it? Nicholls, Palmer, and Gary, which was wrong. It was Garrett. I fucked it up. It was Gary, actually, but it's sad that I actually fucking knew it for 1981.
Yeah.
Really, you know, I'm not even a golfing fan, yet I knew it, which is just bad because of the amount of fucking information I store in my brain, just random bits here and there. She gave it to me just because she was blown away that I actually fucking...
That you actually,
yeah,
got actually,
yeah, two out of
two
three.
Two of them,
yeah.
Right, and one close.
Yeah, well, first off, I said Nicholson, and I was like, oh, no, yeah, I was like, actually, yeah, it's it. And she was like, yeah, it's Nicholls, yeah. And I said, I always get the two, Nicholson and Nicholls, because the actor and the golfer both play golf.
Yep.
And their names are really similar. And it's like Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Even though they're very distinctively different, I sometimes get the names wrong. You know, it's like Peter Cushing I know instantly, but Christopher Lee, I always sometimes forget his name and I can't remember his name. And I want to say, is it Peter Cushing? It's not Peter Cushing. So that happens from time to time. But... she gave me that one, even though I got Garrett wrong, yeah, just because she was just like, "How the fuck did you know that?" And I was like, "I don't even fucking know." To be honest with you, it just came to me. Yeah, like what birthstone? Sorry, if you have this birthstone, what's your month? I was like, August, and she was like, "That's right. How do you know?" I was like, "I don't even fucking know how I knew that." it just comes to me. So it's like I channel dead people when people ask me questions and just maybe. So, and bam, the answer.
Remind me never ever play with a Ouija board with you.
Yeah, well, I dominated.
You already channel dead people like that. I don't want to play Ouija with you.
Well, it's like I dominated Trivial Pursuit at the hotel. When we got here, though, for some reason, I just could not seem to get any of the roles I wanted, and I kept just missing the freaking the peace tiles, and it was driving me insane. And then the second game we played here, after probably like an hour and a half of both of us trying to get our last two tiles, I get them. And I'm on my way to the inner track, and then she just, bam, bam, gets both of them back-to-back in one go. And I was like, how the fuck did you do that? It's like, you've been struggling with it longer than I have. I was like, what the fuck? She's like, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just the dice hate you, and then they love you.
Yeah.
So, and...
Yeah, just like... playing Risk.
Yeah, so it doesn't really even matter what you know. Because eventually you're going to get a stupid question.
Yeah.
That's like, what was it? She's not really too big on entertainment stuff, like film. And so if you ask her a question that's like entertainment related, she might know it, but the odds are that she's going to have a little bit of trouble figuring out who it is, you know. Because she's not good with like a lot of actors' names or actresses or movies, because she's not really into movies and stuff. And one of the first games we were playing, she was trying really hard to get the entertainment title, and just was not working for her. Every question I was pulling out was something from way before my time and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's not gonna work, you know. And then she finally got one, and it was just like, who was Fred Flintstone's best friend? You know, this is Barney Rubble. She knew that, and I was like, "That's wrong. It's Dino." just to fuck with her for a second. I was like, "No, it's Barney Rubble. You got it." You know, and so she got it. Science and nature. She's great with. She's great with math. She's great with science and stuff. So she got that stuff. Like she was guessing at MSG,
mm-hmm.
what it stood for, because that was what her. She just figured it out on her own and got the question right. So she's astounding with that. What was it? Art and literature, 50-50, you just never know. And a lot of it's just simple questions about who was this artist that did this, and you can usually kind of figure it out, you know, by the question itself. But she dominates on science and nature. And of course, I was going brain dead on Sunday, so I got asked a simple question of, oh shit, I can't remember what it was because I was so out of it. I can't remember what the question was, and I fucked it up. God, like this game was put out in 1981, this version, and it was asking me a simple question of, what will January 1st, of the 21st century, what would the actual, no, yeah, it said the first day of the 21st century will be what, you know, and I wasn't thinking right, and I said January 1st, 2000, without thinking of the actual calendar, it's actually 2001, so I was like, oh, shit, my bad, you know, and simple stuff like that where I just fucked up, you know, and got it wrong, yeah, that nice. Sucks ass, by the way, no, she dominated the hell out of the science and nature area. She does a really good job on those. So, but yeah, fun game. Hopefully I can buy my mega deck. and I'll just keep getting Star Wars. And just pissing her off. Because I'll get all my pieces from Star Wars. Be like, Ewoks, Alderaan. I mean, yeah, just get all the pieces. And be like, all right, I'm done. So just to make it fun, my final question to win the game, I'll take 80s. I'm just like, what TV show sucked ass? Alf.
Right.
Just be done with it. So.
Alf.
Yeah.
Who's the boss?
Yeah. Who's the boss is a good show, man. Tony, it's like,
really?
It's like, Angela?
Really? You must be a Tony Danza fan.
No, I just grew up with that show. I like that show. It was a good show. And that one, man, what else is there? Facts of Life. Bosom Buddies was one of my all-time favorites growing up. I used to watch that and The Fall Guy.
Excuse me.
And Simon and Simon.
Simon and Simon, there you go. Yeah.
Simon and Simon was a great show. I love that one. That's one of my favorites. And God, man, there were so many good shows back then. MacGyver.
Yeah. Yep.
MacGyver was good. The A-Team. God. I'm trying to think if there were any, like, 80s shows that are really just overlooked. Because I think they pretty much cover most of them on just, like, the pop culture favorites.
Yeah.
I can't think of any one particular one that just died off and was... Well, Bosom Buddies was... You never really hear people reference that one too much. And that was, like, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got Perfect Strangers. Valky Bartokomus. And,
Perfect Strangers probably gets overlooked a little bit, but let's face it, a lot of that writing was so stupid.
Yeah. Night Court. Night Court was great.
Night Court. I miss Night Court.
John Larroquette is a good actor on that. I loved him on that show.
Miss him.
Bull Shannon.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great show. Cool. Oh, what? Moonlighting.
Moonlighting.
You hardly ever hear anybody talk about Moonlighting. Bruce Willis's TV show back in the day. Yeah, with him and, what's her fucking name? Cybill Shepherd.
Yep.
Moonlighting Detective Agency. That was one of my favorite shows, was Moonlight. I used to watch it all the time. And then he went off and did Die Hard and became just the huge action star after that, and that was awesome. Man, that was a good one.
Yeah, to think he started in such a lowbrow comedy and then...
It was a good show. It was a popular show at the time. It had a decent following and a lot of fan bases, you know.
He probably wouldn't have done Blind Date without...
Blind Date was, Blind Date was a good movie. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, was it? That's well, they did that that alterated version of Blind Date that was Steve Carell and what's her name from Saturday Night Live? I think it was called Date Night. which reminded me very much of it's got the girl from 30 Rock and I forgot her name, Miss Bossy Pants. But it reminded me a lot of Blind Date. Other than that, they weren't, you know, a blind date. It's just so much hair going on their date night, and it was just a whole slew of shit, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, with the movie Blind Day, which is worth watching if you've never seen it, Bruce Willis goes to meet up with this chick on a blind date. Who's played by what's her name?
It was Basinger, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
And it just turns into this huge, horrible night of shit with her past demons and his own personal problems and all that. And it just goes to hell. So.
And some of Bruce Willis's best one-liners came out of that movie.
Yeah. Well, there's that movie, and there's another one similar to it that was that had Jeff Daniels. And what was the name of that one? I almost forgot. It's the one where he goes, shit. Now I kind of have
to. No, I have, yeah. I'm trying to think, Jeff Daniels, where you're going with that.
Yeah, well, he goes on a, well, it's not so much he goes on a date, he meets this girl, played by, it's one of the sisters, the, oh shit, I forgot their fucking names, too. I don't recall. God damn. It's going to bother me now until I remember it, because I have old man memory sometimes. Let's see. I bought the new laptop. Might as
you
well
and
use
me
it.
Both.
Let's see.
That shit drives me crazy until I can remember it.
Well, it's like I can't remember the... It's the girl that went off and married freaking Antonio Banderas. Forgot her name. Do you remember her name?
No.
Arquette. Was it Arquette? Yeah. He
was it Arquette?
Yeah, he married one of the Arquette sisters. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the fucking name of this movie. Let's see here. Wow. Jeff Daniels was on. He was on Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
Wow. 1980. Something Wild. That was it. Yeah. Charles Driggs was.
Oh, okay.
Play. Yeah. Something Wild. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that movie.
No. Not our cat. Melanie Griffith. It was a Griffith.
Griffith.
Yeah. It was a Griffith. Yeah. And Ray Liotta was in it. And yeah. That was a good movie. I like that movie a lot. That's a really good one. Fucking doing throwbacks to 80s films here now. Jesus.
Hey, dude. Let's face it, we haven't had real comedies like that since the 80s, so...
Yeah. Well, bad movie fiends are listening. I keep falling behind on seeing what they've been covering lately, but, man, there's some movies out there they need to... that they haven't done, they need to do, like, Morgan Stewart's Coming Home,
which Oh, was, yes!
Which was an old...
Yes.
John Cryer movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, where he plays a horror obsessed college student who basically gets kicked out of college and sent back home to live with his rich parents, where he basically tries to do whatever he can to piss them the hell off.
Yes.
But it also has George Romero in it doing a cameo as himself, which is great. So... But good movie. It's worth making fun of on the Bad Movie Fiends. So, which is a great show. Which is a great show for anybody who listens to us who hasn't listened to them. So, but anyways,
they're awesome.
Yeah, I think who was it? Oh man, I told them to check out some movie. I remember I told Justin about it, and I was like, yeah, you should tell them. I can't remember which one was it. It was I can't remember what it's called. It was a horrible fucking film about a rock band. It's basically a futuristic a gym type thing where it's like, you know, they need this band and all that. It's the future and it totally sucks.
Yeah.
And it's like their singer or something gets run over by a car, so they get this other chick to sing, and it's like Vicious Lips or something. I can't remember. It's a horrible fucking movie. Then Leonard Part 6, great fucking film, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow, there's a reference on IMDb for this one. Was it 3 men and a baby?
Oh, wow.
Wow, I haven't seen that.
Yes,
in a while.
The height of King Tony, or not Tony mm-hmm. Danza.
Tom Selleck?
No.
Which one? Mahoney?
Shit.
So the guy who played Mahoney, that was Steve Guttenberg?
No, not Guttenberg. Tony fucking Danza.
What, Tony Danza? Tony Danza wasn't in that
or
one.
Or not Tony Danza.
No, that one was...
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, it was Tom Selleck. It was Steve Guttenberg. And it was the one from Cheers. What's his fucking name? Goddamn.
Yeah. Jeez, we are... Ted Danson,
yeah.
Ted fucking Danson.
Yeah, not Danson. Not Danza. Danson. I like him in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Because he's a total prick in it. It's funny to imagine him as a total asshole with Marion Steenburgen as his wife. But now, was it Tom Selleck? Did you ever watch that movie with Ashton Kutcher, The Killers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he played it and ends up that... Yeah.
That was actually a decent movie.
Yeah, it's actually a funny movie, but it's like Tom Selleck plays his wife's father.
Yes.
He's got the mustache gone, and he's a contract killer as well. It's fucking funny. And then also Tom Selleck in In-N-Out with Kevin Klein.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite movies. I'm not gay. I love the shit out of that movie. So this is funny when he's trying not to dance to the How to Be a Man video on the tapes. So...
Kevin Klein's just hilarious.
Yeah, no, I like Kevin Klein. A very good actor. In fact, there's a lot of movies that I would not have seen had it not had him in it. Sorry if he wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Like, that one that they put out, the Prairie Home Companion. He's in it as the MC of the show. I would not have watched it had he not been on it. So.
Well, that's like I would have never seen Wild Wild West had it not been for him.
I watched it because of him, and that one I actually don't put up there as a thing that I'm happy I watched.
No.
Don't throw that out there. I felt so bad that Kenneth Branagh had signed on to do that. I was like, wow, you're a Shakespearean actor with great resume, just fantastic work you've done, and here you are in Wild Wild West. I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course Will Smith's like, hey, I get to write a thong. So, yeah, not really that great.
Yeah, it's like he went from A Fish Called Wanda to Wild Wild West.
Oh, it's Fish Called Wanda and Fierce Creatures.
Fierce Creatures.
Both done by the same groups, which I wish they would do another one before John Cleese kicks the fucking bucket.
Yes.
Because both of those movies are just fantastic.
Well, and he also did, what was it? He did Chaplin. Mm. He played Fairbanks.
Yeah.
That was a great role.
Yeah.
That was a great role. But, yeah, In-N-Out's probably his funniest movie, though.
Here's a good Trivial Pursuit question. With which hand did Charlie Chaplin twirl his cane?
It was the right.
No, left.
No, that's right. All the toys had it wrong, putting it in its right hand. That's the left, right. Yeah.
So he'd walk around with it like this, and he'd have his hand in his pocket.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all the toys reversed it.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, what have I seen lately? And, yeah, you're right. The toy... My wife loves Pawn Stars, and you see a few Chaplin toys every now and then.
Yeah.
The toys always had his cane in his right hand.
By the way, as you can tell, we didn't do a whole lot this last week because it was just Valentine's Day weekend and there was so much going on. What sucks even worse is that Titanfall had their big beta test over the Valentine's Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Which I got to do a different beta test, so I'm proud of that. And I got my time in with it about a month ago or something like that. So I didn't feel too left out, although I would have liked to have cracked into it. I didn't even bother signing up for it this last time. But that, you know, I know some people that did. And since we'd all played it now, we were sitting there, we're talking about it today. And
yeah, I got my email this weekend and couldn't play it.
Yeah, they loved it. They were sitting there, we were talking, comparing our experiences with me being in the very... very private closed alpha and then getting to do the actual public beta, and we were going over our notes. It was very nice and polished even when I played it in alpha, so they just said it's even better. So definitely looking forward to that. But with everything else, a lot of us didn't get to do too much, so this weekend was just a lot of us fucking off with the girlfriends and wives and everything, for those of us who haven't been hitched yet, and then getting sick like poor Justin.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go and take a break.
Figure out some news.
And we'll pop back over and finish out the show. We're trying to give you guys a decent, normal length show without selling it short just because there's two of us. So hopefully, the two funniest guys on the show are here.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you need other than our pretty voices?
Anyway, so we'll be back and stay tuned.
With some news, hopefully.
Yes.
Productive, talking about what little news there was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah.
So we'll just go ahead, bang this out real quick.
Bang it.
Last week's question was: what are your thoughts on Microsoft's promotion of giving $100 towards trade of your old PS3 or 360 towards the purchase of an Xbox One? We had Will say, I like the idea. I was leaning more towards the PS4 just due to price right now, but with this, I could trade in our extra 360 and get an Xbox One if I choose. Options are goods. Dan Reed said, that would be okay if I could play my PS3 games on Xbox One. Shane Biller said, exactly. What to do with a dozen PS3 games. John from Carousel said, considering the amount of 360 and PS3 games I still have yet to play, I can't imagine trading one of those systems in for a system that has nothing I want to play on it. Abram Hatchett said, does the 360 have to work? Because I got a couple HD drive-only machines. And
I don't think I don't even care if they test it. I don't think they do. I think they just go, here we go.
Yeah. And then John came back to say again, from a business angle, though, it's probably smart marketing. Get spare parts for the console that died constantly and take competitors' console out of the used market while putting your new console in someone's home. Hmm. And switch pages here because I know we have responses on the other page. Yeah. We really need to get rid of this other group.
Yeah, we do.
Brian Miller said, it sounds kind of desperate to me, but it's better than doing nothing and just hoping sales pick up. It's still not enough to make me buy an Xbox One. And Eric Lincoln said, yeah, it's no shock to me that they are doing this. I think things will turn around for Xbox One once Titanfall hits, though. I know I'm getting it.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. Titanfall is a big selling point for that console right now. Especially with stuff like Watch Dogs and everything else delayed.
Yeah.
So we'll go into our question for this week. And
what's your opinion on the whole trade in your Xbox or PlayStation 3. What's your opinion on it?
Like I said last week, I just think it's smart marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of people who only ever bought one console in the previous period, never tried Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I know plenty of PlayStation 3 users who were PO'd about some of the stuff that happened with that console.
Yeah.
Who knows? Might be enough to get them buy the other one. Also, now that the price is even.
So I've had more problems with PlayStation 3 than I have with Xbox One. I mean, I've only owned two Xbox Ones over... I've only owned two 360s over a... How long has it been now? Like 8-year period?
Yeah.
And I only got the last one just because... What happened was is it wasn't even so much the Xbox One, it was just that the disc drive finally died on it, and I just, rather than taking the console in, I replaced it myself and flashed it and got it working fine.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't flash it. I resoldered the board on it from the old drive, and that worked. On the old disk drive, and that worked fine. But yeah. And then I just turned around and sold it because during its downtime, when I was waiting for the new drive to come in, because I figured out that was a problem, I went off and I bought one of the new Xbox Slims, the new ones that came out. And I didn't care. I was like, you know, hey, I spend a lot of time on this console, so I don't mind buying it again. And ultimately they got like $800 out of me over an 8 year period just for the console itself. That's not counting controllers I purchased and stuff like that. And when it comes to PlayStation, though, I had a lot of problems with PlayStation because the first one I got just was a shitty machine that was loud as hell, and that was brand new. So I got rid of that. I didn't like any of the games that were on it, really. And then I got another one, and that one pissed me off as well because, once again, it was loud as hell, and it was annoying, and the controller was clunky. And then finally I bought a PlayStation 3 Slim, the smaller one, and I like that one. That one's fantastic. That one's actually a good system. A good
machine.
Yeah, it's quiet. It runs really well. It's very fast. A lot of that has to do with just updates to the interface, I know, so it runs much better. And once again, there's only like a handful of games I've purchased on it that I wanted to play. I've played a lot of games on it, but there's only a handful that I actually own. Yeah. Because there's just, you know, didn't like a lot of the other ones.
Oh, that's the whole reason I got rid of my PS3.
Well, yeah.
What titles were coming out on it seemed like all the good ones came out on 360 also.
Yeah.
Except for a few handpicked titles.
Yeah. But even then, I mean, the ones that were exclusive that I wanted to play was like Last of Us, Uncharted, Resistance.
Yeah.
That was about it. That was, you know, there was also the, what was it, I forgot the name of that other one. The Second Son. You know what I'm talking about.
I know which one you're talking about.
I can't remember the name. Yeah, John. Yeah. If I remember, John was a big fan of it. I just never got a chance to play that one. So,
You know, they haven't made a good Final Fantasy since 10.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's the only reason I'm holding on to my PlayStation 3. That's not the only reason. I like my PlayStation 3 because I still play The Last of Us on it. I still have to finish Final Fantasy 13 too. So I still haven't fucking finished it because I just don't have the time. I had to start over. So, you know, it's quite a bit of a game. But they're putting out the Final Fantasy 10 HD remaster, and I want that.
Yeah.
Really bad because I love Final Fantasy 10. I don't like 10 too, but Final Fantasy 10 is a game I do not mind playing over again because I loved it so much. And and that's the main reason why I still even have it plugged into one of the main HDMI ports on my TV rather than just unplugged right now. That and The Last of Us, I still play it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other than that, I use it as a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
But now I use the Xbox One as a Blu-ray player because I have everything running through that anyways, so... Yeah.
Right.
So it doesn't have to do with what system I favor. It's just which one I'm playing more. And to be honest, I haven't really turned on either, like, any system very much other than PC.
Yeah.
You know, I have all the last generation systems. I have an Xbox One just because I had to choose between which console, and it really came down to
what was coming out.
What was coming out, and I wanted to get the expensive one out of the way. So it's like, all right, I'll just get the expensive one out of the way. It'll cost me $510 after tax, is what it was for ordering through Amazon. And I bought Dead Rising 3, which was a great fucking game. And so it cost me like $570. And I don't regret any decision on it. I enjoy the system. I enjoy what it does. It's a great system. It's got a lot of great features on it. It's a great multitasking device.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 is a little bit more focused on what you're doing at the time rather than letting you do multiple things at once, which is okay. But it doesn't feel as next gen as when it comes to the features. The features aren't there with what's on Xbox One. It doesn't make the system better. It doesn't make it worse. It's just... they went a different route than the other way. So, and the idea of being able to trade, I mean, Xbox One's marketing has been so, in the beginning, it was really limited with what they were doing marketing-wise. They weren't really doing a whole lot. They were just kind of like, well, let's just throw this out there, and that out there. And I don't know. I can't tell if it was just arrogance and that we're Xbox One, people know who we are, or if it's just... they just didn't care. So,
Well, you know, a lot of funky stuff's going on at Microsoft right now.
Yeah, they have a lot of interesting things going on. Yeah, so
they have a lot of internal issues. But also with PlayStation, multiplayer wasn't there for me.
Yeah, which, I mean, the new system they're working in, you know, they're working with an actual party chat system, all this stuff, and that's great.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was all just the multiplayer base. You know, you go pick something up like Modern Warfare or something like that. Mm. You're playing with the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
And the user base was just so much bigger on the 360.
Yeah.
That and the controller for the PS3 just...
I'm not a big
fan. It and I didn't have any love for each other.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the PS3 controller because, I mean, it's like... You come from the Nintendo and then up into Super NES and then Sega and then you go into Dreamcast system, which had a big controller compared to all these. It's a much bigger controller than GameCube. GameCube comes around and, Nintendo 64, which had a big controller. Then GameCube comes around, which had a big controller. And then you jump into PlayStation 1, which had basically the same controller that they have now for the most part, minus the axis and a few other things, and I'm talking about just the size and shape. It's about the same. And then Microsoft comes around, they have this huge controller that they were like, this is comfortable, it fits well, and it does. It was still a little clunky, it was a little weird playing something,
but then with the 360
they refined it and
it got even more comfortable.
They brought it, it was no longer a giant V, and it was actually a real controller that you could sit and use pretty
really
well.
Really ergonomic.
But the PlayStation 3 just kind of made theirs more compact, almost, it seemed. And
they made
it
smaller.
I saw somebody put out a third-party Xbox controller that was the size of a PlayStation 3 controller. And I saw this, and I got to use it, and it was disastrous. trying to play, like, Halo demo on this little tiny PlayStation 3 sized, because I can't really, with the PlayStation 3 I can only use my index fingers for the saddles, so trying to hit both, because I like on the Xbox I can basically put my middle and my index finger on the top and I have my aim, fire, grenade, melee, you know, I can just, you know, one finger for each and I have to switch back and forth, so it's just more streamlined for me. And it really comes down to preference, what people prefer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just a lot of people prefer that size and that layout.
Controller, yeah.
For that type of gaming experiences. And it worked well. And like I said, there's no better than the other. It's just what people prefer. It's all about user experience.
What are you more comfortable with?
Yeah, and that's why I don't like the whole fanboy debate, because I'm just like, you're bringing opinion into, you know, your opinion into basically what's a market that's defined by everyone's opinion. So your opinion actually doesn't fucking matter when it comes to, you know, it's fact for you, but it's just opinion to everybody else. It's not going to really change anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't really prove anything. And so when it comes to controller layouts, I just prefer that controller. You put a Xbox 360 controller in the hands of a little kid with smaller hands, that might not be good for them. They might prefer the PlayStation 3 controller.
Yeah.
You put in an adult, they might prefer the bigger controller. You know, it's kind of like, you know, your grandparents, you know, for those of you out there who might know this, they had the grandparents that had the giant oversized remote control.
Yep.
The novelty one that was a joke at first, it actually turned into a real product that you could, has like giant quarter-sized buttons on it.
Yeah, the one.
So they can see what they're doing, you know. And I actually have one of those in my closet because we used to sell this at my store, and I thought it was hilarious. And so I took it home and I programmed it, and I actually had it working with my TV. I thought, this is cool. I will never, my girlfriend at the time, I was like, she will never lose my fucking remote control again, because she was always doing that. it's a matter of just preference, what really works well for you.
Yep.
And same thing as just controller types. I mean, there's people who love theatrical controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I prefer not to have them because I don't like the LEDs flashing up in my face. I know you can turn it off on the back, but it's just one of those things where I just don't see a point to the LEDs at all being the entire controller. So it's just,
no.
It's like you're playing with a cuttlefish the entire time. It's just hitting you in the face.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah. And it just doesn't, I don't get it. You know, I just don't fucking get it. I don't like it either. It's not. It doesn't mean it's not a good controller. It's just the aesthetic design of it I don't like. So that's my opinion. So I don't use them very often.
Yeah.
My girlfriend loves them. I bought her one for her laptop. I got her because she has one for PlayStation 3 that she loves. So I said, okay, I'll get her one of those. And she loves it. She loves using them. Justin has one. He uses it. They're made by PDP. I have a PDP controller. It's the Tron controller, the Clue edition. And I love that. I use that for all my PC gaming because it's just... One, it's fucking Tron. Second of all, though, it's a really good controller. It's very responsive and it feels great with the rubber grips on it that are textured. And but a lot of it really, you know, a lot of the stuff people were throwing out as reasons they weren't going to, what they thought of that promotion, it's opinion. And it really is a marketing ploy. And it's, I don't think it's a last ditch effort, desperation marketing ploy. What I think it is I think it's a, let's do something kind of snarky because PlayStation has been very snarky, shove it up your ass, you know, to Microsoft. Yeah. And Microsoft tried to play the higher road with, even when they did their launch, Microsoft even sent out a little congratulations on the launch, blah, blah, blah. And because it's all about professionalism, and we're just not seeing a whole lot of that when it comes to ignoring facts and trashing.
No.
Which I think is sad because a lot of things should be based more on fact than opinion. But this though is opinion, and but just to throw it out there, that opinion is just opinion, and my opinion is that it's just a marketing snarky move just to be like, all right, fine, fuck it, give us your old PlayStation 3, and we'll cut $100 off.
Well, not only that, you know, so, as close as their relationship has gotten in the past few months with GameStop, it's utilizing your resource.
Yeah.
Sure. You can turn your PS3 into the Microsoft kiosk.
Yeah.
They're just going to turn around with their partnership with...
No, they're going to do something with it. I didn't GameStop even bother...
and sell
it. I didn't even bother looking at what they were going to do with them because I wasn't going to, you know, I wasn't going to partake because I already have an Xbox One. I debated on it for a second because I was like, well, you know, I could get the girlfriend one, but I thought, no, she doesn't need one, and she would never play it because she's so busy with school stuff and all that and Borderlands on PC that she doesn't have time. So I was like, I don't need it, you know. Now, if PlayStation came around and was like, hey, give us your Xbox and we'll knock $100 off of the PlayStation for you, then I would be, okay, $300 for a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to give you mine, but I'll find one. You know, because I can find one pretty damn cheap.
Yeah.
You know, because you can get 360s even. Now, I know that they're very specific as to what types of 360s you can bring in, so finding them isn't that big of a deal. It's not that hard to do, but I could find one for relatively cheap, like $40. I'm still gaining $60 off of that, so, you know, if I wanted to be that stingy with my money, I could really care. I'd rather just pay the $400 and buy one without even bothering with it. I like having consoles. I like the fact that I have all three of the, you know, I have the 360, I've got the PS3, I've got the Wii U, which is a Wii as well, so that covers that. I have a top-of-the-line gaming rig system that I built in my room for PC. I now have this new laptop which runs stuff like Borderlands and Dishonored, so I can play more modern games on that. And then I have the Xbox One. I debate on buying a PlayStation 4 this last couple of weeks, but every time I look at the game list, I'm just kind of... Yeah, if I'm going to buy the system, I want to buy something with it to play, and I just don't see anything at the time. I'm not trashing them. It's just there's nothing catering to me at the moment because Watch Dogs was catering to me, and now that's pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everybody's, well, there's also the Games Plus that you can get, and I'm like, yeah, but...
That's not a big selling point.
That's not a big selling point. Yeah, I don't really care about that. I mean, I have an Xbox One. Sorry, I have an Xbox Gold membership that, to be honest with you, I hardly ever fucking use. So why do I even continue to pay for it? I debate half the time. Why do I even have this? It's not because it's a bad system. It's just I'm so busy. Why continue to pay for it? You know, $7.99, $15 a month, whatever. Why do I continue paying for it? And I'm just like, yeah, whatever. Fuck yeah. It, you know. And so do I really want to start paying an additional for another system that I'm probably just not going to turn out for a while until another game comes out? And people are like, well, you're just not taking the time to really explore the indie games that are on there. It's like, yeah, well, I don't have the fucking time. You know, I work excessively, yeah. Constantly. I'm always working.
And most of them that are there, indie games on PS4 right now, are on Steam.
Yeah, and I own most of them. Like, Outlast was one that they're bringing out for that. I've owned Outlast since last year, and it's a fun game. It's great. It's just it didn't keep my attention long enough for me to finish it. I feel bad about that because I really like the survival horror genre, and it's not that it's a bad game. It's just I had other things that seemed more important on the priority level, so I just didn't get to go back in and focus on that. And what's funny is that when a game is really good, it takes priority for me over a lot of other things. So, and Outlast just didn't do it. They're like, well, there's Bioshock Infinite. It's like, yeah, I've had that one since last year. So, and I beat the shit out of it. And you know what? I already own all the season pass on PC, so why do I want to get it on PlayStation 4 or 3 for free and then have to buy all the DLCs just to play them on there? So, because I already own them. It's like, well, no, you can just get it on there and play for free. It's like, I already have it, and I can play it for... you know, what I paid for it, which is, you know, I actually own it, so, and I have all the DLCs, so I don't have to do it.
And you already own a digital copy of it.
Yeah, so I can play it on anything. I can play it on this laptop, I can play it on my PC, I can go over to some random guy's house and install it on there and be like, you know, I'm going to steal your computer for an hour. So, you know, it's just, I can do with it whatever I want.
Yeah.
And, so it's just not that enticing to me.
No.
The only thing I can see on PlayStation 4 when it comes to their digital release stuff is that one game Deep.
Yeah,
it's the Dark Souls clone, but with Dark Souls coming out just next month, I'm more focused on that Dark Souls experience as opposed to a knockoff Dark Souls experience, and really getting ready for that
Dark Souls.
Very excited. So that's basically my point of view on the whole. I think it was a little bit more than just my point of view on the whole marketing, but that's my whole point of view on the whole consoles. It's like I purchased the Xbox One just to get... I wanted to get a new system. I just wasn't sure which one, so I wanted to get the most expensive out of the way. And that when you see a lot of people arguing back and forth, crap like, well, Battlefield 4 on Xbox doesn't run at 1080. Well, guess what? It doesn't run at fucking 1080 on PlayStation 4. You know, it's the Frostbite engine. Looks good one way or the other. It looks great at the resolution it's currently running at. Well, yeah, but it doesn't mean that Xbox can't do 1080. Forza's 1080. It's just Battlefield 4 on both. If you want it on 1080, go on PC, because you're not going to get it on console. It has nothing to do with the console it's on. It has to just do with console, period.
It's just about the game development, where it is right now.
Yeah, and I remember I said on the show some time ago that even before the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 came out, I said you're going to have to wait about 2 to 3 years for there to be anything groundbreaking awesome on the systems, because developers need time to really kind of test and push and experiment, and it's going to have to be most likely something that's exclusive to that particular system. To see what it's going to be able to do. The Last of Us, for instance, was a good example where it was at the end of the entire lifetime. They finally put out a game that
all really of your truly groundbreaking games from last generation, graphic-wise, and everything else, really testing systems, came out within the last 3 years.
Yeah, it was near the end.
Yeah.
So it takes time for people to really kind of get in there and start trying to experiment and see what they can do. And
now, granted, I agree, like you said, it'll probably only take about 2 to 3 years with this current generation, just because architectures of these newer consoles are much closer to what PC is.
It's more the operating system is... it's going to be more based on the operating system with how it handles the file structure and all that. But, I mean, the systems themselves, they're great systems. And, you know, you've got one that's based on a DDR3 system that's a bi-directional memory management system that can allow for a lot of multitasking, that being the Xbox One. And then you've got one that's on 5 RAM system, which is very single directional with its memory management, and it's very focused on what it's doing at the time, which of course is playing games. And so the systems, the way they're put together alone, are a little different. Yeah. But you're gonna see people really kind of just, I don't even know where I'm going with that thought. So
yeah,
that's the sinus is talking. Yeah. Anyways, but either way, it's just, you're gonna see a lot of interesting things going on. But it's an exciting thing to see with everything. I mean, like, we have the new Alien game coming out in the near future at some point, where it's the first person survival horror Alien game. I can't recall what systems that's supposed to come out for, but I'm really looking forward to that and seeing what they can do with environment. If it's on console, I mean, I don't care what console it's on, I'll buy the system for it. If it's PlayStation 4, I don't give a shit. I'll buy a PlayStation 4 to play it, just to play that one fucking game. Because I'm stupid. So, yeah, I do that stuff. And it's like, I wanted to play Link Between Worlds. I bought a fucking 3DS just to play Link Between Worlds. Do I still have my 3DS? Yes, I do. It's just next to my bag. I play it.
I'm getting memories of The Last of Us coming back.
Yeah, because I had gotten rid of my PlayStation 3, and then finally The Last of Us came out, and I thought, okay. So I found a great deal on a PlayStation 3 Slim. It was basically brand new, but it's sitting in a pawn shop. Some guys, I read the guy's emails. That was the sad part, because I logged in. He left all of his shit in there, and it's like, I put in my username information. For some reason, it logged me into his account, and I was like, oh, I have emails? So I started going through, and I was like, I have no idea what this shit is. And I'm sitting there, and apparently he fell into hard times at work, got fired, had to pawn some shit off. So I had access to, like, his entire, like...
I just can't believe Uncharted 3 was left in the system.
Yeah, he left that in there, but he had, like, pretty much every AAA title released that he bought digitally, and it was just sitting there, licensed. I could have just sat there and played all of his games. I deleted his profile off there. I wasn't going to be a dick. So I was like, yeah, no, I'll delete that. He should have, you know, the pawn shop really should have scrubbed it before they put it out there, just to make sure he did not. But pawn shops commonly do not do that, because they don't waste the time, which sucks. For some people, so always if I end up selling something, I always make sure I scrub it off. But no, it's a good deal. It was the 320 gig, I think, or whatever it is. I can't recall. Slim PlayStation 3 with a free copy of Uncharted 3 that they did not know about, and brand new, great condition. Yeah, I love that fucking thing, and it runs way better than the original PlayStation 3, the ones that I had. And no, it's a good system. It is. I still play Final Fantasy 13 on there, and 13-2. Sorry, 13 sucked, but I still play Final Fantasy 13-2 on there, and that's great. And The Last of Us, yeah, I did repurchase the system just for that, and I don't regret it, because I put a lot of time into that game.
You have,
yeah. I still haven't finished my Survivor game plus, because, you know, Valentine's Day weekend came up and I got distracted. Maybe this next weekend, I don't know.
Which brings us to our question for this week. What did you do on Valentine's Day?
Weekend.
Yeah. Were you sucked into the Titanfall beta and completely ignored your sweetheart?
Or did you do something else, like bacon roses?
Yeah. Nothing too explicit, guys. We don't need you.
Yeah,
we don't need your dirty stories.
I don't want to hear those. So all I know is I told Justin, I think it was, I posted on Facebook that I had booked the hotel room, and he replied to it, and I was like, hey, you get the whole apartment to yourself for the weekend, enjoy it, you know, because originally I was going to be here, so he did something with his woman throughout the whole weekend.
And then got the flu.
So, yeah, and then he got sick, so, but fair enough, everybody got a little sick, so. It's like, even me, I usually never get sick, but fuck, my sinuses are just screwed.
Oh, dude, allergies are horrible in this state. That's the one.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't have allergies unless it's really bad, and then it affects just about everybody. The ragweed will get to everybody at some point. When it's like bad enough.
We get above freezing for a few days, and all of a sudden, the allergens decide to strike back hard.
Yeah. I was like, last night I slept my window open. I was like, I need fresh air. So my girlfriend crashed over one last night before calling the weekend quits, and we just slept with the window open because it was nice outside, and I've been in a non-smoking environment for like 3 days or something like that, and I smoked my e-cig mainly the entire weekend, and then I was back in a smoking environment, and I think that's what caused the drying out of my nose
probably,
and then the allergens just made it even worse. So
yeah,
by the way, you know what we did for our Valentine's Day weekend. So what did you guys do? Did you do some Titanfall beta testing, or did you
actually do what was right?
Did you get roped in?
Right.
No, I enjoy. I went all out this year. I love doing holidays with the girlfriend. So I love going all out with them.
Yeah, but isn't Valentine's Day just a holiday manufactured by the car company?
It's not so much about. It's not so much the fact that it's Valentine's Day. I don't care if it's. I don't care if it's the middle of freaking June. If I decide, hey honey, let's go and get a hotel for the whole weekend and just freaking rack up a $500 freaking bill, let's go do it, you know, and it's just fun to do. Valentine's Day just gives me an excuse to do it because I
that
love,
is true.
Yeah, because she'll attest that I like to do things like that, like holidays. I like to go all out. I got the money, so I like to do stuff. So, so anyways, let's see here.
That is true.
When I've got the money,
right.
Yeah. So that's our questions. So.
That's our question for this week. News, not a whole lot of news.
Yeah.
Kind of dry. Rock band developer Harmonix has decided to do a free-to-play first-person shooter.
With guitars. I don't know with what.
They aren't still using musical basses.
Wow.
But they're doing a first-person shooter, and I just don't know exactly how that's going
to
work.
I don't know how to feel about that. It kind of reminds me of, like, if KISS ever put out, like, a video game nowadays, you'd be like Gene Simmons walking around with the guitar and it shoots electricity out, and, like, each one would have their own, like, magic. That they're like, there's earth, wind, fire, water. Yeah, and, like, Gene would be fire. It's like, boom. Like, yeah, it shoots flames out and all that. It's just one of those really, really crazy things. So he slams his foot down and it causes a quake attack, you know, does earth damage. Very interesting. You could spec your KISS army out.
But yeah, I just don't know what I feel about that. They're talking about how the guns actually react to certain notes in the music.
Wow.
Is
it going to use popular music or just content created music?
There's not that much detail yet.
Okay.
But the guys who were behind Counter-Strike Global Offensive are the ones working with them on it.
Oh, so it's Valve team, so.
Yeah.
See, I would like to go around and, like, shoot people to, if I can import my own music, I would love to, like, kill people to, like, I don't know. Something like, what's that? What's the bitch? What's the girl that did the Titanic song?
Oh, Celine Dion.
Yeah, I like to go just kill people with Celine Dion and just viscerate them and crap to. Or some Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah. Or rip people
apart.
Some Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie, Michael McDowell, fucking Yanni, some Kenny G.
some Kenny G.
Just some nice soft jazz, just yeah. little jazz sax.
And then when you want to go. Mm-hmm. Completely horrible on them. You throw on Michael Bolton.
Pull out Yoko Ono. Yeah. Just go and, like, destroy. Did it commit, like, complete genocide on a species while listening to George Harrison? Something just completely contradictory to what you're doing. You know, it's just, you know, it'd be horrible.
It would be.
You're stomping on alien baby eggs while listening to John Lennon. You know, This Is Christmas. Yeah. So I like that idea. I would love to. They should actually do a thread. They should do a thread of just, like, you know, with the whole, like, Xbox music coming out where you can play your own music while you play games.
Yeah.
There should be a thread where it's just come up with the worst game song combinations possible. and just come up with just these horrible, you know, like, I'd almost say, like, really, like, just a creepy combination might be some, like, really creepy nursery rhymes to Dead Space.
Right.
You know, it'd be very
Right.
interesting. Or, as they already have in Dead Space, 1 and 2, they had Twinkle Twinkle Little Star,
Yeah.
where you'd occasionally hear it being recited in a very creepy manner. But, like, what could you think of? That's just a horrible combination of song, video game.
Oh gosh. There are so many, I'm trying to pick out one. Just one.
Let's go with, you want me to pick a game for
Let's
you?
see here. Yeah,
Okay.
go ahead.
How about the most horrible song mashup with let's go with Duke Nukem for Xbox 360. And PC and PlayStation. Yeah, the new Duke Nukem that came out. Yeah. Yeah.
Diane Ross.
Diana Ross. Actually, I was thinking, like, what was her name? Tina Turner. Yeah, just for some reason, just back in her Thunderdome days, just, you know, yeah, beyond Thunderdome. Yeah. I don't know why that just seems to kind of fit beyond Thunder.
Right.
Beyond Thunderdome. Yeah, that just seems kind of weird. I think, man, I'll take Halo.
All right.
Let me think of just some horrible.
I can think of plenty horrible for Halo, but go ahead.
Danny Kaye. Danny Kaye, way back in the day, doing Coconuts. Yeah, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. I don't know why, I really like that song, and I think it's funny to have it playing during just a teabag fest. Just a whole bunch of people
Right.
getting teabagged and killed and all that stuff.
Right.
It's not offensive though. It's not like so like to the point where like that's just wrong. Like I said, playing John Lennon's "This Is Christmas" while stomping alien baby eggs into the ground, like Dead Space 2 in the nursery where you're blowing the heads
Yeah.
off of the little babies playing a John Lennon song about beautiful boy, yeah, beautiful boy by John Lennon while you're shooting the that. That's bad. That's
Well,
bad.
or take Fallout,
Mm-hmm.
Cat Stevens.
No, oh, yeah, Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
Which one? Which Cat Stevens? Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world.
Wow.
It's hard to get by. Yeah, you know, I love Cat Stevens. The story behind it was he was a bicyclist. He got run over and broke his
Yep.
back. Said he'd never walk again, and he said, "Yeah, I'm gonna walk again." And he actually did. So yeah, very interesting man. But I think.
Or Cats in the Cradle.
Cats in the Cradle. I was thinking Dante's Inferno in the scene where you're in hell fighting the unbaptized babies with the razor legs. You could Cats in the Cradle would be interesting, or Thank Heaven for Little Girls. Just something really just kind of just weird, and
Right.
the Benny Hill song would be awesome.
Yeah.
Playing any Devil May Cry juggling game where you're just playing the Benny Hill.
Oh,
You're just listening to just swiping guys like all over the place, and it's just kind of humorous. Anyway,
and then there was, say, if you went back to Halo 3, when you're riding the brute bikes, bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bring in some Queen.
Bicycle, bicycle. I like to ride my bicycle. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. More funny than anything. I can see just like the whole game's serious until that moment where Master Chief gets on the back of a brute bike and starts bicycle. She has his foot going to the stirrup. Bicycle turns it on and then. Yeah, so it's just
Yeah.
that lights were up. Yeah, that'd be funny. You could do that. very interesting. There's just a lot of really just inappropriate, like at Mass Effect, the whole sex scene where whenever you like romance your
Whoever.
paragon. Sorry,
Yeah.
your I should have forgotten the name of that achievement. Whenever you romance whoever your love interest is, You could play. I mean, you could go with the techno Prodigy "Smack My Bitch Up." You could go with
Right.
that "My Neck, My Back, Pussy and Crack" song.
Yeah, you could go
Back
with,
That Ass Up.
yeah, you could go with
Lady
Pantera's
Lungs.
remake of Cat Scratch Fever.
You go with "Rain of Blood."
Yeah.
You can do all kinds of stuff. I think ultimately, you throw like a Brother Lynch song on there, something that's
Right.
really, really bad.
The end of BioShock Infinite, you could throw in Celine Dion's "My Heart Will Go On" from Titanic.
That would almost seem to work, almost though. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You'd have to put something else on
Yeah,
there.
but you know that would be so such a disappointment to gamers.
Yeah, it would be if it
That
was a
cut.
Celine Dion. It's
Yeah.
almost like what they did with Final Fantasy with bringing in pop artist stuff and all that. What was it? Who was the chick that they brought in
Oh,
for
when
Final
they
Fantasy
really started
X?
doing that with 10-2.
Yeah, well, no, with ten. Ten,
Oh,
they
yeah.
had they had somebody's some American pop artist song on there as the title track song. I can't remember the name of it. I can't remember what it was. Actually, I like Final Fantasy. No, it wasn't 10-2. I'm sorry, it was 13. 13, they had some pop artists.
Oh,
So, yeah,
yeah.
10, 10 actually, 10 had, like, during the boss fight at like the end, it was like death metal. It was like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's like J-pop death
Yeah.
metal, and it was actually really good. So, it was like fucking Malice Mizer type shit. So, it's like, I remember Dirge of Cerberus, they did a good job with the music on that, which was they had, I think, Malice Mizer on there, if I recall, or
Yeah.
somebody. But, by the way, yeah, that somebody needs to make a thread and just sit there and come up with horrible, horrible
Yeah.
combinations of games and music. So, but anyways, any other news that you can think of? We got the
Not
Xbox
that I saw
updates.
that was real big.
No, we got that Xbox update rolling out.
Yeah, but they still haven't even given out full details on exactly what it's going to be. Lots of multiplayer tweaks and updates
Yeah, they're gonna be
ahead
doing
of Titanfall, along with some
battery
system
life bar.
management.
You're gonna have the battery bar so you can actually see what your controller's
Yeah,
battery
that came
health is
out
at.
with this week's
Yeah,
update.
this week's
Yeah.
update. The next one, if I recall, there was talk about it actually taking the system resources that the Kinect is using and actually leaving the Kinect to its own resources and bringing that back over for the system to use, which will bump to a 10 to 20 increase and system stability as well as rendering ability and all that
Yeah.
stuff. So basically makes it a more powerful unit at that point. I know that Rise is coming out with their Mars DLC here in the next week or so.
Yep.
Yeah, and they'll have that out. I know Dead Rising 3, I think, just released their first DLC. I know that The Last of Us finally got its DLC out for the Left
Yes.
Behind DLC, which I need
Yep.
to go purchase. And play once I finish it on Survivor Mode Game Plus. But we'll know more about the future Xbox One updates. I know that they did announce that they're gonna start doing their DLC discounts here in the next, sorry, in the near future on Xbox One, followed by the Xbox One games with gold finally kicking in, I think, in April.
Yep.
Which people are thinking that Rise is currently gonna go for $20 off, and it might end up being one of the
Yeah,
games with gold that they might start pushing.
the test market starts on the 19th, I think it said. Runs
Yeah.
through like the 28th.
Yeah, so that might end up actually being a Xbox One premiere games with gold with with them launching that feature on there. Which will be interesting because I heard it's an underrated game. One of the guys that I work with is constantly he's always telling me you need to play, you should play, you should play it. And I want to, I keep putting it off. Because I'm gonna see if it shows up on Games with Gold, and
Yeah.
even at $20 off, I'm still gonna wait to see if it shows up at Games with Gold. So,
Yeah.
yeah. By the way, kicking off from news, we can go into our upcoming games that we have scheduled to come out in the near future. So basically, what we're looking at is this week we've got Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. I bring that up because that actually does look like fun.
Yep.
That's coming out with the Xbox 360 and Xbox One. Great stuff. Earth Defense Force 2025 is going to be coming out for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and the PlayStation Network on the 18th, which is actually today, which you guys will hear this on the 20th most likely. So either you have it or you haven't picked it up yet. We have Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry coming out on PlayStation Network, PlayStation 4, and PC.
Yeah.
Let's take a look. We have Banished coming out on PC. We've got, let's take a look here, Neo Contra, PlayStation 2 Classics, launched on the PlayStation 3 network on the 18th as well. Rayman Legends is also coming over to PlayStation 4. There is one that's coming out on Steam that's called 99 Levels to Hell. That,
That's an interesting
that's
title.
it's like a Megadeth album right there, actually.
Right.
Yeah, that just sounds like a, yeah, it really sounds like a Megadeth album, but it's a 99 Levels to Hell. Anyway, it's a 2D shooter dungeon crawler, basically with some roguelike elements inside of it. I think it looks interesting. It's cute for what
It
it is.
sounds
Yeah,
interesting.
it's just adorable. Anyways. Let's see. Other than that, next week we're gonna have Castlevania: Lords of Shadow 2 finally launching on the 360, PlayStation 3, and PC.
I will try to pick that up.
Yep. And then we have Thief finally coming out on PS4, Xbox One, 360, PlayStation 3, and PC on the 25th.
Again, want it.
Yep. I've already got that one. I just waiting for it to get released. Then we have Resident Evil 4 Ultimate HD Edition coming out on PC on the 27th, and
Nice.
yeah, and then just to jump into it because it is coming up here, Stick of Truth, South Park is coming out on PlayStation 3, 360, and PC on March 4th. Dark Souls 2 will be on 360 and PS3 on March 11th, and then Titanfall will be out that day for Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC, and that pretty much will take us up into March right there. So there's some good stuff coming out.
Yep, we'll finally have some new games to tell you all about. I will try my best to get a hold of renting or purchasing Lords of Shadow 2 and banging it out as quickly as
Yeah,
possible.
you bang it.
Bang it hard.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say that, but okay. By the way, oh, for those of you who want Dark Souls but want it on PC for Dark Souls 2, I think that's not supposed to release until like May 31st,
Yeah.
and that's according to Amazon, so that might not be right. They could just have it wrong, but I know it's not scheduled to actually be coming out until some point later on in the year, which sucks for me because I really want on that. So by the way, with that, we're pretty much going to wrap the show up with our shout outs. We have For the Love of Gaming, friends of ours, check them out. We have the Bad Movie Fiends at bmfcast.com. We've got the Carousel Podcast, that's thecarouselpodcast.com. You'll hear us talk about them, John and company. We've got the Elseworlds Podcast at elseworldspodcast.com. We've got noquarters.net. And then we have That Video Game Podcast at tvgp.tv. They do good things, as always.
As always.
It's funny is that we actually gave them
I
that.
know, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they do good things. I don't even know how the hell that came about, but for some reason it became a tagline. So they need to put on a fucking t-shirt. So, then pay us. Anyways, so yeah, you can find all those guys linked at the bottom of our website, which is at tiltcast.com. We also have our iTunes, just search for Tiltcast. We have our Stitcher account, which is underneath Tiltcast. We also have our Twitter, which is twitter.com/tiltcast, and our Facebook, which is facebook.com/tiltcast. Make sure to hit us up on there. You can find links to most of those on our website. I think I left the Twitter one off because I fucking hate Twitter. Anyways.
Yeah.
And that pretty much covers all of our shout outs.
Yep. So that is the show, guys.
The two man show.
The two man show.
Two Live
Trent
Crew.
and Jason show.
I call it Two Live Crew.
So we will see you guys next week.
Most definitely with a much fuller cast. And I won't be sick through half of it. I feel much better now. So.
Yeah, hopefully with a return of at least Rusty and Justin.
Yes. Yeah. So catch you guys next week.